Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, July 14th, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her message is Fear of the Lord. The Old Testament reading today is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. The New Testament lesson is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17.
Listen to God's words of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For learning about wisdom and instruction, or understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And from chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of wisdom, your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Yet you have given us this gift of Scripture. As we explore Proverbs this morning, we humbly ask you would send your Holy Spirit to interpret and guide our understanding of these ancient words, so that we might know in the present day how you want us to be wise. Help us to grow in our faith, trust, and wisdom. Amen. Wisdom and advice. I want to know from you, what's a piece of wisdom and advice that has stuck with you over the years? Who gave you something wise? What?
Do unto others
as you would want others to do unto you. That's wise. What else? Yeah. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That sounds like wisdom. What else? What else is...
Turn off the lights
when you leave the room. Don't waste electricity. Yes?
To walk slowly and plan carefully.
Yeah.
Don't insist on your own way.
Yes. One more. What's a wise saying? Yeah.
When you're not sure what to do, be still.
Whew. Wow. Yeah. I think for me, it has been, Wendy, let go and let God. Right? So, wait, we have some of these bits of wise sayings, and they get shared verbally. Turn off the lights, right? They get passed on from elders to youth or from a friend to another friend, especially if they're struggling. But here's the deal. You don't usually sit down and just read them one after the other. They mean more to you when they pop up at just the right moment. Maybe it shows up in your Facebook feed. Or remember this? My mom would write, would find a clipping from a newspaper article or something, like a quote that was in Reader's Digest, and she'd put it in an envelope, and she'd just mail it to me. It didn't even come with a note, but like little clippings. Did anybody else have people send you clippings? Oh, yeah. I love that. Because the right piece of wisdom that shows up at the right time is so valuable. So, so valuable. But the laundry list of them isn't so valuable. And I think that is part of why I have not preached very much out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, most of the book, has these lists of these wise sayings, just one right after the other. And there's a lot of Proverbs in there. Each one could be a sermon to itself, and you don't want to sit here that long. There are those Proverbs that seem wise to us still. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 22:6. Parenting advice. Start children off on the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Not sure that one really works. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So those we might make some sense out of, but then there are ones that are maybe a little culturally distant from us, or they're just a weird image. Proverbs 11:22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Kind of weird, kind of sexist. There definitely is a patriarchal cast to these. Proverbs 21:9, better to live on the corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. An alternate translation of the same proverb, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. Stopping her complaints is like trying to stop the wind or trying to hold something with greased hands. Yikes, right? And then there's the one we found this in high school. This is Proverbs 31:6. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Ugh. And then there are things that just don't translate, right? I don't think people went jogging, and so somebody has made a humorous t-shirt, Proverbs 28:1. It says, I wanted to go jogging, but Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked run when no one is chasing them. So there's that. So how do we make sense of these Proverbs? I'm hoping that the introduction to the whole book of Proverbs is going to help us understand the parts are inside of it. And so that's our text for this morning. If you go back in your bulletin or in the scripture, we're going to look starting at Proverbs chapter 1. So first of all, these are Proverbs. So Proverbs in Hebrew is Mishli. And it is more than just pithy sayings. The word in Hebrew relates to a variety of genres. It can include sayings, but also can include poems, songs, or even parables. You know how Jesus talked in parables? And the meaning suggest the word maybe comparison or mastery or sort of weighing wisdom a bit. And although they're written as the Proverbs of Solomon, if you remember Solomon, he was David's son. He was known as the wise king, got to build the temple. But the thing is, it's not all written by Solomon. Very often in biblical times, you would put an author's heading under it. But maybe some of these things came from Solomon's era and had been passed on verbally. But likely they were written and collected and done many centuries after Solomon lived. Scholars think this because of the quality of the writing and the kind of vocabulary that they were using. But because Solomon was known as a wise king, it was kind of nice to put his name at the heading of that. And then this goes into why we have gathered these up and written them down. It's for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. We want to pass on wisdom to others. And especially this was passed on to teach knowledge and prudence to the young. So the overall tone of the book is of a father teaching a son, of an older generation teaching a younger generation. And that explains some of the sexist language in it. It doesn't talk about teaching daughters. It talks about teaching your sons. And so there's not as much of an indication that women were included. And then the thing about Proverbs is it's wisdom for everyday life. It's not the burning bush story. It's not the big places God shows up. It's the get up, go to work, come home kind of moments. And the beginning of that wisdom is there in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And again, we see it in that second reading of Proverbs 3, and this was in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This phrase, fear the Lord, shows up in other parts of Proverbs as well as Psalms and other places in the Bible. And so fear the Lord ends up being the overall theme, the overall motto and purpose of the book of Proverbs. But fear the Lord? Like, does this mean we're supposed to be cringing? Fear the Lord? And we don't walk around to one another saying, the wise thing to do is to fear the Lord. It just doesn't trip off our tongues in our modern day. So here's the deal about fear the Lord that helped me understand it better this week. It's an idiom. Do you remember idioms? Right? An idiom is a phrase that is unique to one language and culture that cannot be easily understood or translated based on the literal definition of the words used. Right? So English idioms will say, oh, they're like two peas in a pod. We all know that means they're similar. We don't think they're actually two peas. Or you're throwing in the kitchen sink. You're barking up the wrong tree. You're feeling a bit under the weather. I learned one from the South. All right, I'm not from the South. Show me some sugar. Do you guys know what this idiom is? What is show me some sugar? Give me a little kiss. Show me some love. Right? So even if it's in your language, if it's not from your cultural background, you don't know what show me some sugar is. I'm like, I'll find you a sugar packet for the kitchen. No, that's not what it means at all. And then this happens even more if you're learning another language, if you're trying to teach English as a second language to somebody else, and you just get tied up with like, why does this Spanish phrase like a goat? Como un cabra. What do you mean like a goat? Like, what does that mean? It means you can be a little crazy. There's a Japanese idiom, 1,000 mountain, 1,000 ocean. That's sort of the same as what we would say a sly old fox, somebody who's been across a lot of mountains and been across a lot of oceans. And so this fear of the Lord is not to be a word-for-word instruction to us, because it functions much more like an idiom. And in that difficulty of translation, we've tried to have some approximations of it, but it just doesn't translate well. But fear of the Lord is connected to fear, but fear in the sense of reverence and awe. That sense of awe you have standing at the edge of the ocean or at the foot of a mountain. God is bigger than that. And in that sense, realizing God is not like a balloon that you carry around on your string and you just get to, you know, have God follow you around whenever you want. That's not a God you're afraid of. But what is it to stand in front of something that is bigger and more powerful than you? Fear of the Lord is about having a deeper understanding and relationship with God. Understanding fundamentally who God is, God's character and power, and understanding that God is God and we're not. It's knowing and trusting and living your life as if God is at the center of the universe. God is like the sun, and the planets revolve around the sun. Remember before Copernicus, right? In the Middle Ages, we thought, oh, the Earth is the center of everything, and the sun is rotating around the Earth. And then as Copernicus and Galileo started using their instruments, they go, this doesn't look right. Actually, the Earth is rotating around the sun. Perhaps we humans have been a little big for our britches to think that we are the center of everything that happens. I think this is closer to what it means to have the fear of the Lord. The wisdom in getting the fundamental with relationship with God right. I think that's what Proverbs is trying to teach us over and over again. To trust and know God's presence in the world, and conversely, to know our place and role in the world. It's remembering that God's perspective is wiser than our perspective. So with this understanding, I'm thinking our world could use some more fear of the Lord. When you hear anyone say, or perhaps it comes out of your own mouth, God's on my side of this issue, war, political party. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. When you hear someone say, or it comes out of your own mouth, I know, I'm the expert. I've got a degree, I got years of experience, I got more years on you. You're right, you may be book smart, but how though is wisdom the fear of the Lord? When you hear anyone say, well, technology is going to solve all our problems, or an advertiser who gives you a product that says your life will be completely transformed. All you have to do is buy this beauty product, new car, right? This prescription medication. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I was thinking, too, this happens when we there's this false humility, like, why is this happening to me? And you go to God and you go, what about me? But I think wisdom is about recognizing that you are not the only person in the universe, and we're not all here to revolve around you, even God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think this happens for survivors' guilt, who think that they could have done something to stop a tsunami, to stop a forest fire, to stop an earthquake. Human power has its limits, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I invite you to think of yourself and your life for a moment. What is a decision or a conflict or an issue that is looming pretty large for you right now? Perhaps a place in which you are seeking wisdom. Take a moment and imagine yourself and your situation. You can leave your eyes open, you can close your eyes if you wish. But I invite you to slowly invite in God's wisdom and perspective. Maybe you zoom out like a movie camera, getting a larger view. Who else is involved and connected? Who else is connected to you and to your situation? And zooming out a little larger, imagine that all those people, that they have mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, neighbors and friends, co-workers and community friends. And then maybe you zoom out even farther, like the perspective of being in an airplane. We look out the window and the houses are small and the streets are tiny. And rise higher, and we think of the pictures that we can see, not because we've seen them with our own eyes, but because satellites have sent us pictures of what the continents look like. And then remember that indeed, all the continents, all the houses, all the people, and yes, ourselves, are on a planet called Earth, which takes 365 days to rotate around the sun. And that it's been many days, many nights, many weeks, many years of rotating around the sun. Allow this sense of the vastness of God and of God's perspective to touch you, your problems, your life, your frustrations. And take a moment of silence.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.